May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 388. Approach my soul the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. 388.
Oh, May the Lord be pleased to bless his words to the profit of our souls this morning. Let us read from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and we'll read chapter 7 and the first verse in chapter 8. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, reading chapter 7 and the first verse in chapter 8. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Great and eternal Lord God, do grant that we may be blessed with that true spirit of prevailing prayer as we come collectively to our God in prayer this morning. O Lord, do come, we earnestly pray, and remember us for good. O Lord, we come with that prayer. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. And Lord, we pray that that may be, and may have been, and be, the prayer of us this morning, that the Almighty God may indeed look down upon each of us and remember us. And Lord, we come and we pray, Lord, pass us not by. We're conscious, Lord, that our sins deserve to be passed by. We're thankful that there is compassion with our God. And so, Lord, we come pleading this morning that thou would look upon us each for good. And Lord, granting that our souls may be blessed and thy great and holy name honoured and glorified. Lord, we desire to acknowledge thy goodness to us in providing another opportunity to gather together to worship Almighty God. And Lord, we do seek that we may have the realization that we are in the presence of that great God who has created all things, that one who is in charge of all things, that one who is high and lifted up. And so, Lord, as now we gather together professedly to worship the Lord, oh, do grant that we each may be blessed with that true and right spirit of worship. And Lord, do grant that our hearts, our minds may be attentive to hear what God the Lord will speak to us today. And Lord, may we hear the voice of the Lord in our souls. Lord, may we not come and go today and receive no benefit for our souls' eternal good. But do grant, Lord, that the word of God may come today with that divine power from on high and may pierce the hardest heart. For Lord, we know we have a God who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And we would come, gracious God, to that one who we believe is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so do look upon us then, as we've assembled here today, young and old. Lord, we pray that every one of us may bow down and worship the ever-living and true God. Lord, we are conscious of the wonderful favour that we have and enjoy in our country at the moment, of the liberty that we have, the freedom we have, being able to come together for worship. And Lord, we desire to give thanks to thy great and holy name for this blessed favour. And then also, Lord, that we have the word of God, the open Bible to read. And Lord, we're thankful we have it in our own language. And Lord, we do then pray that this may be greatly blessed to our souls. And Lord, we pray we may read it as the word of God and not the word of man. That we may read it, Lord, carefully and prayerfully. And Lord, that that word may speak to our souls. That we may be corrected. We may be instructed. We may be encouraged by the reading of the word of God. And so, Lord, we come this morning and are thankful that we've been able to read a part of it together. Thankful, Lord, that there are such a record recorded for our blessing and good. And, oh, Lord, we pray that as we read the word of God, we may find our own soul's experience traced out in the reading of the word of God, that they may not be words which are completely foreign to us, that they may not be words which we do not understand. But we pray, gracious God, that we may be blessed indeed with the favour of the Spirit of God resting upon us, so that as we read the word of God, it speaks to our hearts. Lord, may it not just be a superficial reading. We're thankful, Lord, for the whole truth of God, but we do pray that the word of God may speak to our souls. And Lord, we would echo those words, "Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like those that go down into the pit." Grant, O Lord, that we may be blessed with the wonderful evidence of divine life in our souls as we receive the word spoken into our hearts. And Lord, we have then the blessed evidence that we are spiritually alive, that we have passed from death to life, to darkness to light. And Lord, we pray that everyone here may be blessed with this favour. Lord, may every one of us be very concerned to know that we have dealings with Almighty God, that we are not left, we are not forsaken, but that we have a God who is mindful of us. We have a God who has called us out of nature's darkness into the marvellous light of the everlasting gospel. We have a God who reveals to us the blessing of the Saviour. And oh, we pray, Lord, today we may be blessed with a soft heart, a softened heart, Lord, a heart which is prepared to receive the word of God, a heart, Lord, which is moved by the knowledge of our sin and by the gracious mercy and favour and love of the Saviour. Oh, we pray, Lord, then, that these things may be very real and very precious to us today, so that we may be blessed with these favours. And so, Lord, look upon us. Lord, we've gathered here this morning a congregation of individuals, and Lord, we all have an individual case, an individual soul, an individual life. And oh Lord, we pray therefore that thy good spirit may come and meet with us where we are. And Lord, we know that none are too far off. We're thankful, Lord, that we have a God who is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And Lord, we think of that occasion, that parable of that prodigal son who, Lord, was brought to his senses and began to be in want. We pray, Lord, that every one of us may know what it is spiritually to begin to be in want. And so, Lord, do come then and meet with us and touch our hearts. And Lord, do get honour and glory to thy great and holy name. Oh Lord, we believe this is the grand purpose of salvation, to bring honour and glory to our God. We pray, Lord, in each of our lives, we may be concerned that his name may be lifted up, that his name may be honoured and glorified. And Lord, may it be our privilege to be able to come and say, let us exalt his name together. And therefore, Lord, do hear us then when we pray for these blessings. Lord, we cannot demand it. And Lord, we do not merit it. But we come praying for Jesus' sake, that thou wilt remember us for good. And so, Lord, hear us then when we pray for these things. And Lord, we pray for the whole Church of God throughout this world. Lord, we know that we are so privileged in our situation here. And we know, Lord, even today there are many in the world who have great hardships to face. Lord, many who are fearful to gather for worship because of the reprisals which may occur on such an event. And we know, Lord, there are those who are in prison for the truth's sake. We know, Lord, there are those who are martyred for the truth's sake. Oh, Lord, we pray for families of such and churches of such. Oh, Lord, be with and comfort them. Help them, Lord, to hold on their way. And, Lord, we pray that as the word is preached, perhaps in secret, perhaps in the open, perhaps in buildings, perhaps to one or two or to many hundreds. Lord, whatever the situation, we pray even today, it may be a time of blessing. A time, Lord, when thy word may go forth with divine power and touch many hearts. Lord, we come in a dark day. Lord, we come in a day when we see all around us men, women, boys, girls, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And we see and observe, Lord, a great falling away. We see, Lord, so many following the things of this vain world. But, oh Lord, we pray that we may know the difference. And we pray, Lord, there may be yet a turning unto thee in our nation, a turning unto thee in this neighbourhood. Oh, Lord, we pray that there yet may be a time of blessed revival if it could be thy holy will. O Lord, we are encouraged by thy word to come unto thee to pray for these things. And although we are so often discouraged, Lord, may we be encouraged as we see thy work appearing. And Lord, we plead for that. Oh, Lord, we come this morning and we say, Lord, let thy work appear. Lord, we love to see thy work appearing. And Lord, we need to see thy work appearing. And Lord, may we see thy work appearing. And may thy great name be honored and glorified through thy work appearing. Oh, Lord, help us then to pray earnestly for these things. Lord, may we receive that grace, as it were, to besiege the throne of grace. Lord, we know that thou dost say, thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Lord, may we be more prayerful. Lord, we fear and we tremble sometimes at our lack of true prayer. Lord, we seem to just speak words. But, O Lord, may our prayers enter in to the holy place through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we pray from our heart. Lord, may our prayers not just be a form of words, but Lord, may they be true cries from our heart. And Lord, may they receive answers of peace. Lord, look upon us then, for good we pray. Bless everyone here, Lord, as a church of people. We pray for them. We pray for the deacons, that thou wilt help and encourage and bless them in their labour here. Be with the little church, Lord. Bless and encourage them. And Lord, bless the congregation. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt do great things. Oh Lord, we seek that there may be the wonderful and glorious movement of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that there may be a true concern in every heart to know that work of God in their souls. And then, Lord, that desire to speak well of thee, to honour and glorify thy great and holy name. O Lord, do arise, we pray. Bless the work of the Sunday school. Lord, that may that not be a labour in vain. Grant, Lord, that the children may be blessed. Oh, we pray, Lord, that those who teach may be willing labourers in this work. And Lord, that their labour may not be in vain. And there may be, in time to come, much evidence of the blessing of the Lord attending the work of the Sunday school. We pray, Lord, for our nation. Lord, have mercy upon us. We've seen, Lord, the hand of God upon us as a nation with all the floods which have occurred. And yet, Lord, we see man struggling with himself to overcome these things. Lord, we pray there may be a realization that the hand of God is upon our nation. Oh, Lord, and may these things cause many to turn unto thee. Oh, Lord, work, we pray, in the hearts of our politicians. Lord, how hard-hearted, how stubborn, how rebellious they are. Lord, do arise, we pray, and touch them, if it could be thy holy will. We remember the many occasions in the Word of God when just a touch did great things. Oh, we pray, Lord, it may be so. We think of our Queen, we pray for her, remember her for good, bless her in her exalted position nationally, and may she be a good example to our country. And so, Lord, look upon us now. Lord, our need is great. We have a great God. And so, Lord, bless us, we pray. Accept our thanks for every mercy and every favour. And may we know our hearts drawn out to the Saviour today. Forgive our sins. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
Be pleased to bless us together this morning as we consider his word, Let us turn to Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 7, and we'll read verse 9. The epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 7, and reading verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. The Word of God is a spiritual book, and there are many places, of course, in the Word of God which are naturally interesting. The many historical accounts of things which have occurred. But the truth is that the Word of God is given to speak to the souls of God's people. Now, as we read together this seventh chapter this morning in this epistle of Paul to the Romans, some of you might have thought, well, it's a very strange chapter, and really I don't understand what is being written. I really can't fathom what Paul is saying, and I don't really appreciate it. Well, the truth is that we've all been like that. And the blessing is, if there has been a change in our life, so that now, as we read such a chapter as this, we have a little understanding of what the Apostle Paul is speaking about, because he is speaking about spiritual things. And put it another way, he's speaking to those who possess the gift of that new life, that spiritual life, that to those who have been born again. Now, if you and I are to understand this in a spiritual way, it will be because the Holy Spirit of God has come upon us and has blessed us with the blessing of divine life. And if this morning, as we read this through, you thought, well, I don't understand this and I'm not really interested, perhaps it's because you do not possess divine life. Now, we should be thankful to the Holy Spirit of God that he has decreed that there are those accounts of God's people which are spelt out in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, we have many instances of this, especially of David, as he spells out his spiritual tossings to and fro, his difficulties, and yet his joys. And there is in his life, and there is in the children of God's life, a balance with regard to spiritual things. Well, we're thankful that the Lord has so ordained that we have a lot of the Apostle Paul's spiritual life. And of course, the Apostle Paul was a favored man. And we're thankful that he had a good knowledge of the law of God, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He had a good knowledge of the law of God. But the problem was, that was not a saving knowledge. My friends, that's the great question. You today may have a knowledge of the Word of God, but my friends, is it a saving knowledge? That's the great question. Many people today can argue about the rights and wrongs of the Word of God, but yet not really understand it, because they are spiritually dead. They do not possess the life of God in their souls. But this account in this chapter, it describes the difference between those who are still spiritually dead and those who are spiritually alive. Now, the apostle tells us here, he tells us, "For I was alive without the law once." You might say, well, what does that mean? Well, he thought he was alive. He thought he knew the truth of God. And he thought he was walking in the ways of God. And he thought he was therefore alive. In actual fact, he was dead. Where do we stand this morning? Do we think that we are spiritually alive when in fact we are spiritually dead? Now, the apostle was satisfied with his spiritual life. He thought he was doing God's service. I wonder this morning if you are satisfied with your spiritual life, whether you consider you set quite a good example, you consider you perhaps do those things which appear to be right, appear to be in accordance with the Word of God. It may be that you have a morally upright life externally, and that's good, I'm not speaking against that, but is that your religion? Are you satisfied with an outward life, an outward situation, and in actual fact are still spiritually dead? You see, the Apostle Paul, he tells us here very clearly, he was alive without the law once. And he knew the Word of God very well. The Old Testament he was very familiar with. But you see, he was not spiritually alive. He was just naturally alive, and he was satisfied with an outward performance of religion. And I believe today there is a tremendous situation which exists today where people are satisfied with just an outward religion. My friends, that would never be of avail when you and I come to die. It won't be what we've done. It will be what God has done. And so this morning, are you relying, like Paul was, on what he was doing, what he had done, or are you relying upon what God has done? Now, there's a vast difference. And the difference is very simple. What we have done relates to our old nature. What God has done relates to our new nature. And if we are content with what we've done in our old nature, the situation is this: our natural life gradually gets older. Our natural life begins to die. And there will be that day when our natural life will die. Yes, our body will be no longer alive. It will be dead. Now that's on the one side. On the other side, if we possess the life of God in the soul, then there will be that spiritual growth. There will be that fruitfulness in our spiritual life. And there will be then that coming down to our day of our death then, not with a dying spiritual life, but a life which the Lord has given, and a time when we are then prepared to enter in to that eternal state of glory. That spiritual life will be alive forevermore. It won't be death. It'll be alive. Now, the Apostle Paul knew the change in his life. And how necessary it is that we know the change in our life. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said on two occasions, he used the word must. And he said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Another occasion, he said, ye must be saved. The words of the Saviour. Many things in our lives we place as important. We think, I must do this and I must do that. The great thing is that we have the evidence that we possess God's life, that spiritual life within. We hear what the Lord spoke to Nicodemus, and perhaps we may have marvelled. He marvelled. We're not to marvel. We must be born again. We must possess spiritual life. And the Apostle Paul was so very conscious of this. As you read through the epistles, you will see that again and again he clearly delineates between that which is false and that which is true, and that which is of the flesh, and that which is of the spirit. And my friends, let us not be satisfied with just a fleshly religion. We need to know the work of the spirit in our souls. And that's really what the apostle is speaking of here in this seventh chapter. And he explains it, and it's not something which you and I will understand naturally. It's only something that you and I will understand spiritually. And you see, as we understand it spiritually, then we will be encouraged to know that we do possess the life of God in our souls. Yes, says the apostle, for I was alive without the law once, but, you see, the apostle had a but in his life. Have we got a but in our lives? It's a blessing if we have. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You see, if the apostle had been asked if he was a sinner, he would have probably said he was. But just think of that line of the hymn, that the hymn writer said, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him so. That means that you and I stand condemned before a holy God because of our sin. And that's because the Lord has worked in our hearts and revived his law so that we are now a guilty sinner. We realize that we're lost. We have to throw away all our religion. Understand what Zechariah said. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's no value in them, really. I'm not saying we shouldn't do good and right things. Of course we should. But my friends, we are not to rely on that which we've done. We are to rely upon that which God has done. Now, God came to the Apostle Paul. And perhaps we are, of course, I hope, familiar with his conversion on that Damascus road. And of course, it was a very wonderful occasion. We shouldn't always measure ourselves with such a conversion as that, because we also know that Lydia had her heart opened. The Lord is very sovereign in the way that he works in our souls. But the truth is, he does work in our soul. And all of us this morning need to know that the Lord has worked in our soul. That's the vital thing. You know, I'm not speaking against coming to chapel at all. But my friends, you can go to chapel all your life and you can sink into hell. Don't think that going to chapel would save your soul. I've seen people. I had to bury people. They've gone to chapel all their life and have sunk into hell. The word of God is very separating. And you here today are on one side or the other. You're either those who have been saved, or those who will be saved, or those who are lost. My friends, do not sit down satisfied in going to chapel. Don't rest satisfied with going through reading the Bible every day. I'm not speaking against it at all, but my friends, you need more than that. You need to know the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, which produces, like it did with the apostle, a change. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Oh yes, he had to get rid of then all his natural religion. Yes, it was death. There was no life in it. He needed the blessing of the Lord. And so he's able to give us some little account in this chapter of the truth and the depth of true religion. And as we read together, you see, this is the confession of a man of God. This is his soul's experience. And this, my friend, is what you and I need to be able to testify as we understand and bless God that he's given us a spiritual understanding of these things. So that, as the apostle says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now this, my friends, remember, is the enlightened spiritual man of God talking. Because what is he experiencing? He's experiencing the conflict between our old nature and our new nature. We have to carry our old nature with us, which is sinful, which will always be sinful. But bless God if we have the new nature, which is pure and holy. And that's the conflict that the people of God have. And that's what the apostle is speaking to us here about. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." It's a very surprising statement. And it's something that if we are not spiritual, we will think, well, how strange. How could that be true? The truth is, when God displays his grace within us and gives us that grace, what does he do? He shows us ever more of ourselves. And we sometimes cry out, can ever God dwell here? It's the battle, you see. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There is that sin which dwells within. Now, let's be clear. We are not to make excuses. Because there is sin which dwells within. But my friends, may the Spirit of God won't let you settle down and be content with that situation. You'll mourn over it. And as the apostle says, but what I hate that I do. And so now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me. Now, my friends, this is the work of the Spirit of God. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's a painful lesson to learn. But it's a good lesson to learn, because it's the lesson that you learn through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. So here we would say, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Oh, yes, how sad it is. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's a mystery, isn't it? Perhaps we are surprised to really understand this. Well, it's only as the Spirit of God opens our heart to realize the truth of these words, and that we find and are able to confirm that there's nothing good in ourselves. It's only what the Spirit of God gives. And what does that mean? It means this, that then we shan't claim any virtue ourselves. We should desire to give the honor and glory to God because of what he's done. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil that which I would not that I do. Very strange, isn't it? It's the evil of our old nature. And my friends, be sure of this, the devil will be at your back all the time, trying to urge you on to do evil. The devil wants to conquer you. He wants to gain the victory. But the great truth is that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gained the victory. You know what we read? We are more than conquerors through him. Now you see, if you and I are brought to this position to understand ourselves, that we don't, nothing good in us at all, but understand what he said, he was alive once without the law, when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. For I know that in me, yes, dwelleth no good thing. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now this is a great change, isn't it? Here's the apostle, previously alive, before, in his self, in his own flesh. But now, blessed with the Spirit of God, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the new nature. The new nature. And again, that is an evidence of life. If your new nature delights in the things of God, your old nature won't. Your old nature still goes after the poor old things of this world. But do you then see this? The apostle says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Sometimes, you see, the devil seems to gain the victory. Oh, yes. And then we understand what the apostle speaks and writes here. And this is from the newborn soul. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, the apostle recognized the wretchedness of his flesh. O wretched man that I am. Well, do you understand that? But let me just say this. The apostle didn't stop there. And my friends, you won't stop there. If the Spirit of God is in your soul, you won't stop there. You'll have to confess it. But my friends, you need to go on. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You see, he wanted deliverance. He wanted deliverance from it. And then he comes and he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There was his place of victory. The Lord Jesus Christ was a conqueror. He conquered sin, death, hell and the grave. There's our place of rest. Not in ourselves. No, we have to give up all hope in ourselves. But to look out of ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, says the apostle, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See the division. With his spiritual mind, the law of God. With his old flesh, the law of sin. Now then, this is the experience of the child of God. My friends, if you don't know anything of the conflict, as the apostle spells out here, you do not have the evidence of the work of grace in your soul. Because I believe from the very beginning of conversion, the devil will attack. The devil will say, well, that of course is no good. That's not the Spirit of God. And you can forget about that. But you see, if it's the Spirit's work, my friends, oh, bless God. Once that Spirit's work has begun, it will continue. It will continue. There will be tossings to and fro. There will be ups and downs. There will be the conflict. But the devil will not win in the end. now because of these words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's because Christ has died to take away all our sin. Yes, all the sins of our flesh. And you say you will mourn over your sinful condition. You won't rejoice in it. Your old nature enjoys sin, but your new nature won't. Although there is this continued temptation and this continual battle, I believe the great reason is to continually direct us to the only way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that he is your salvation. Nothing in your flesh. We're brought to this place. Now, this is a growth in grace. See, we do desire, we want to grow spiritually. And as we grow spiritually, we see more of the sin within. And we see more of the great mercy and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who should have looked upon such a vile wretch as we are. You see, the apostle describes it, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Before God, you can confess that situation. Confess to him. But then, to be able to come and to give thanks for that which he has done. He's caused you to realize your true condition. And you have no confidence then in the flesh. No confidence in your flesh. And then to look to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it do? It brings honour and glory to his great and holy name. It brings us to this question, doesn't it, really? What think ye of Christ? Is the test to try both your work and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. What does Christ mean to you this morning? Well, Christ meant very much to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul knew his situation, but Christ meant much to him. What does Christ mean to you this morning? Is your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? What do you think of Christ this morning? See, this is the reality of our religion. It's to know him and him crucified. That's the place of rest. There's no rest out of Christ. The world is a turmoil. Yes, and our natural life is a turmoil. But oh, to have that rest in Christ. Because it means we're not looking to ourselves. It means we're looking to what Christ has done. And then to think that this great Saviour, Almighty God, has looked down from heaven and had mercy upon us and touched our hearts and caused us to seek unto him in a time when he may be found. Oh, then it is a wonderful favour and a wonderful time in our spiritual life when we have that knowledge that Christ has died for us. It's not something that you and I will be able to work up in our own hearts and minds. You may read about it. But when the Spirit of God brings you into that place of condemnation because of your sin, when sin revived and you died to yourself, died to all that was of your flesh, no good thing in self, then to plead for the mercy of God. Well, there is that great, glorious short prayer, isn't there? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you prayed that? If you really prayed it, it won't have been a one-off occasion. It'll be a prayer that'll be very suitable again and again. Because you'll need the mercy of God. And as the Lord shows you something of his mercy towards you and what he's done to redeem your soul, to give you a hope in his mercy, to think of the Saviour, the enormous cost of your salvation, what he endured, no tongue can tell, in order that you and I might be redeemed from all our sin. All those vile sins, those sins against light and knowledge, those sins which have made us cry out, O wretched man that I am. And then to come to this place and realize that it's only in Christ there is no condemnation. Yes, to those who are in Christ Jesus. And therefore, if you understand this morning what the apostle testifies, I believe there is the evidence of eternal life in the soul. Because these things are spiritually discerned. The natural mind, the natural man, will not understand, will not comprehend him. They will be foolishness to him, but to the living child of God. You'll thank God for the 7th of Romans. Your desire to praise God for that which he has done in opening your eyes and bringing life into your soul, which is eternal life. And it's not what you've done. It's what Christ has done. And therefore, I believe, blessed with this evidence of life in your soul, you will desire to thank the Lord. You will desire to praise him. The apostle says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did desire to thank the Lord. He did desire to praise him and to honour and glorify his great and holy name. We come this morning. The Lord is worthy. Oh, my friends, may you know in your heart the blessing of that new song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to receive all honour and glory and praise. Is that your desire? To honour and praise and glorify God? Because of the Holy Spirit has worked in your soul and shown you the depth of sin and the hope you have, not in self, in what Christ has done. You'll be amazed. Your desire to bless him and to praise him because he is worthy. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and to think that your sins have been washed away in the precious blood of the Redeemer. Oh, my friends, what cause there is for praise to our God. Well, then, we have this 7th chapter of the Romans. And bless God and praise God today if you understand what the apostle said. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Amen.
God willing, our friend Mr. Hyde hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon and give out the prizes. Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day. May we close with hymn 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. 1080.
Okay.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.